Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected honorable listeners. Our engineer, yeah, I think he played a, it sounds like a Shia Nasheed. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he doesn't know all these things, but we'll tell him to take it off, inshallah. So that's our first announcement. The date today is the 19th of Dhul Qada, 1445. It is corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 28th of May, 2024. If you see in other countries in the world, it is the 20th of Dhul Qada, 1445. Let's welcome our Mulana Musa Lahir Sahib, Damat Barakatuh. Mulana Sahib, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Mulana, Jazakallah Khair for having us once again.
Jazakumullah Khairan for joining us. Mulana, how's the weather and the situation in Cape Town?
Well, we're looking forward to some good rains tomorrow, inshallah. So the forecast says, Allahu alam, at the end of the day. But yeah, we need some good rains here. It normally rains in winter here, yeah? So that's our rainy season.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Mulana, how's your health? Everything well on your side, the students?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Allah baksad, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. As we see yesterday, and the day before, all that has taken place in Rafah, and it's just increasing, increasing. People are screaming at the ICJ. Nothing is absolutely happening. It is just the Mujahideen who we say are in those tunnels, and miraculously, with the help, divine aid of Allah Azza wa Jal, they are bringing down these tyrants. I just saw last week, and it was a beautiful stat because it came from the US think tanks. 30 to 35% only of the Mujahideen after this 234 days of massacring, bombing, wiping out. Only 30 to 35% of the Mujahideen. So, Musalla here, I mean, we've seen all of this that has taken place. Children being burned, all of this. It's, we're listening to these incidents. How does it, how are we supposed to respond?
So, Mulana, I think you quite rightly mentioned this, yeah. I think if we look at the news over the last 2 days, it has been somewhat scary, for lack of a better word. The fact that the rogue regime of Israel have to drop these 200-pound bombs on tents in what is recognized as perhaps a safe zone. And then they say, oh, it was a mistake. I mean, how does that become a mistake when you're deliberately dropping 200-pound bombs and massacring over 50 people, burning them alive? Molana, you know those images, la ilaha illallah, that came out was so frightening. Israel, at the beginning of this war, They were going on and on and on. And you know, there's that one idiot that comes on he's the ambassador to the United Nations. I despise him for many reasons. One of the reasons is, you know, he goes on and he says, Hamas, Hamas, Hamas. But one of the things that he was going on about was the beheaded babies, blaming the Mujahideen, which obviously was a fallacy and which was not true. But now here, when we are seeing true pictures of beheaded children from the severity of the bombs, you know, what surprises me is that this happened already 2 days ago, and the United Nations Security Council hasn't yet met. I mean, when things like this here, I recall just 2 days ago also, at the same time, there was a bombing that took place in Kyiv, in Ukraine. And it was blasted all over the news of how these missiles had bombed this civilian structure. You know, it was a warehouse and there were so many civilians that were killed, etc. And there was all big noise about it and what have you. However, the reality of this year is that the world will continue to remain silent. They will continue to remain silent. They don't really give a damn. They don't, they're not really concerned. At the end of the day, we must turn our attention to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and we must remember that at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala is well aware of what is happening. Over 40, 50 people massacred, you know, to be burnt alive. This is something Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has even taught us, that if you see an anthill, don't destroy it with fire or with water. You know, an ant, an insignificant, or something that we would regard as an insignificant creature, but don't destroy it with fire. Here, there are lives that have been taken away by fire. Molana, those images, they just, you know, they haunt us. But like you correctly said, you know, the Nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely there. A few days ago, the Mujahideen managed to capture a few more prisoners. I think that happened on Sunday. So that was a big blow to Netanyahu and his government. And hopefully that will put a lot more pressure on them to basically now come to the table and start talking. But at the end of the day, you know, if you look at this war from A to Z, from the beginning till now, it's all about, it's a number game. How many can we kill? How many can we kill? How many can we disable? How many can we, it's just a number game. And it's really frightening. And the Muslim Ummah at the end of the day has to wake up. When I say wake up, I'm not saying now you need to go out and take arms and what have you, but we have to turn to Amal. This is the only solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the success of this war, so that we can reign and come out as successful warriors. That we have to turn to dua, we have to turn to Amal, we have to give up. You know, Maulana, I have a program with Yusuf. I'm just going to go off track a little.
Gee.
So that thing has been bothering me. The question comes from students or from sometimes from parents. So I wasn't really aware of what they were talking about. But the question came about to ask me that what is the big deal about women coming to the masjid? Apparently some woman came to the masjid and she met her husband there after the nikah and what have you. Allahu alam, right? what the whole story was.
Gee.
But the fact that she wrote there, what's the big deal about it? That's what was bothering me. You know, it is a big deal, because any commandment that we trample of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a big deal.
Exactly, Gee.
You know, 100%. Yesterday somebody phoned me and they asked me, Maulana, can ladies go to the Qabristan? And I obviously, you know, discouraged them severely, telling them that, listen, you can't go. Then they said, okay, what if I just park on the road? You know, West Park Cemetery, you park on the road, and this particular individual who they were going to visit in the Qabristan was right on the fence. So I said, no, you can't do that either. Because at the end of the day, what's separating you from the Qabristan is a wire fence.
Gee. Mulana, just to interrupt here. Sometimes our women folk, if you see Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she was so sharp on these issues, and yet she was the one from a female. Normally we say, they say, yeah, it's just, you know, the men are going on about this, yeah. And someone sent a beautiful message on this. They said, how strange is it that the men are looking for excuses to read at home, and the women are looking for excuses to go to the masjid. So when you look at this whole thing, it's compulsory upon us men to go to the masjid, but we're looking for excuses to read at home. So my family, my parents went to Egypt now a few weeks ago. So I said to my mother and my father, both of them, and I wasn't thinking, sometimes we don't think, and we just, so I said, when I was speaking to them, I messaged, I said, you must go to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi's qabr is there, Alama Abu Sayri rahmatullah alayhi's qabr is there. But then my spouse, she's quickly told me that, no, you can't say that. So I said, but why? So I'm saying sometimes women are sharper, and she said to me, but women can't go to the Qabristan. So I said, 100% you are right. You can't go to masjid also. Why am I saying that? So then I quickly said, I rectified the whole thing. But I'm saying when it comes from a woman, it adds more value. And there's so much of wisdom, but we don't look at the wisdom, the command we look at. So 100% right. Mulana, you can just mention whatever else on this topic, inshallah.
You know, Maulana, absolutely 100% correct. I think we've reached a stage of degeneration in the Ummah where sin is looked upon as no big deal. anything, whether it's, like you said, you know, that's a very powerful statement of our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And I see this here in reality here in the Cape region. You know, it's by the time Maghrib Salah comes in here, which is pretty early at the moment, 10 to 6. But it's cold. It's cloudy. It's wet. So, you know what? Let me just read Salah at home. And look, one is laziness, right? We can understand that. It sometimes gets the better of all of us. But at the end of the day, as a servant, and that's what we are nothing but servants. And a servant is devoid of any choice in specific matters. This is what we have to understand. I'm a servant. If I'm told to jump, I need to jump. If I'm told to sit, I need to sit. If I'm told to stand, I need to stand. If I'm told to go to the masjid, I need to go to the masjid. If I'm told to read salah at home for our ladies, I need to read salah at home. Not defy. And that's what's happening. We're becoming defiant. And we're becoming arrogant in our defiance altogether. Because, you know, it's like we've got our fist up for the Sharia.
Gee.
And we want to literally box the Sharia out of the little that people are now practicing upon. I mean, really, is it so difficult for us to say, ladies at home, men in the masjid. That's it. You know, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the Sharia that he brought. Now we've chopped and changed and made a whole mixed masala kachumar with this whole thing that sooner or later our kids are going to grow up. They're not going to know, do I go to the masjid or don't I go to the masjid? And they'll start asking those questions very, very soon. But you know what? I can go to the masjid as a girl. I can read salah at home as a man. There's no big deal in it. You know, okay, the masail with regards to bad weather, but really, Maulana, do we have such bad weather in South Africa that it stops the person from going to the masjid?
Gee.
No, okay, sometimes we may have those heavy hailstorms where you can't get out of your house and what have you, but those are few
rare.
And far apart.
Very rare,
I'm talking about now, in winter, in the whole of South Africa, excluding Cape Town. Okay, Cape Town gets rain, but Cape Town doesn't even get hailstorm. So the whole of South Africa, this is the season where the weather is not bad at all.
Gee.
In fact, it's good. Maulana, we read Fajr Salah today, Jamaat, at 6:45. 6:45, Jamaat. Who was in the masjid? Myself, the Muazzin, and the helper. Three people.
And that's like people are awake at that time because they're going, the men of the house are awake. They have to go to work.
Work, school rounds, whatever. But 6:45 and we can't get people in the masjid. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know, I'm not saying that they might be going to other masajid, right? We'll have Husni Zan and what have you. But the reality is this is where we are right now. And let's make an announcement. You know, I see that, you know, there's a lot of groups and expat groups here. And let's make an announcement. Let's go out for paddle tonight. And you'll see the numbers. Let's have a game of soccer tonight. And you'll see the numbers.
Absolutely. And that's where our double standards comes in. I've seen in different countries, kuffar. We don't say the Muslims must go protest in that. But for the kuffar, we can't say they can't do it. And they're doing it for the Muslims. So I'm hearing of kuffar taking knocks, kicks, everything being arrested for protesting for the people of Gaza. And we are playing paddle. We are playing all of these sports. We can't even make a transformation in our own lives when we need the assistance in ourselves because we know the condition of our country, all of this. So I think we must name this program the wake-up call. It's something that came because we the discussions that Imam Musa alayhi discusses, it really wakes us up from our slumber and addressing pertinent aspects which we can reform, change in our lives, inshallah.
You know, Maulana, this morning, well, actually the message came last night. So now I told you, if Fajr is so late, Isha, we're reading Isha Salah currently at 7:30. So by 8:30, I'm in bed already. I think it's now old age that's starting to catch up. So before 9, I'm fast asleep, alhamdulillah. But anyway, last night about 10:30, I seen some messages coming through a friend of mine. After many years of marriage, alhamdulillah, he was blessed with a son.
Mashallah.
And I could hear the excitement, you know, when he was sending me the messages and saying, hey, Maulana, I got a baby boy. And then the next message he wrote there, Maulana, make dua, he becomes the liberator of Al-Aqsa, Al-Mubarak.
Mm.
And that was so heartwarming to hear. Mm. You know, he is the type of person who does a lot of work and, you know, going to Palestine and what have you. But this is the aspirations that the Muslim Ummah needs to have.
Mm.
I mean, on Jummah this week, I can just imagine how the imams are going to be speaking about the massacres that took place in Rafah. We'll come out of the masjid and we'll be revving up our cars, walking with our sunglasses. I don't know what that's all about, but anyway, we'll be doing all of these funny things. And just 10 minutes before that, we received a power talk on what is happening in Palestine. Mm. And again, Maulana, it's an insult for Muslim Ummah. You look at the universities in America and what have you, and these youngsters, how they are protesting. I mean, not for 1-2 hours, for days. They've been camping out for days. They've been beaten up. They've been shook up. They've been arrested. They've been going through all of this year. And we as the Muslim Ummah, we're still fighting and saying, you know what, change the religion. Let's change our deen. Let's allow women folk in the masjid. Let's, you know, we don't have to push. We don't have to be so conservative and so orthodox. You know that word orthodox? They love it. You don't have to be so orthodox about reading salah in the masjid for the men. They can read at home, no problem. You know what? Today's zamana is like this year and like that day. La hawla wa la quwwata. I mean, Maulana, you from Lanesia. There's a masjid literally on every block in Lens. I don't know, it's probably about 30-odd masjids in the whole of Lens. Now.
Over 40, yeah.
Oh, subhanAllah. Look at
and
that.
And they, they say there's more ulama than awam people.
Really?
No. It's exaggerated.
On a lighter note.
Meaning there's so much.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, that's excluding the small little musallas, and I'm sure there is also in Lens. I know there was one or two before. I can't recall. It's been a while since I've been there. But, I mean, what excuse do we have?
Hmm.
What excuse do we have for not reading our salah with jamaat? You know, if we really want to see change coming about in Palestine, then I have a challenge to every businessman. At 1 o'clock, or half, a quarter to one, whatever time your salah comes in, shut your business, right? Allow your Muslim staff, don't just you go and force your Muslim staff to remain. Allow your Muslim staff to go to the masjid. After time, do the same thing. And subhanAllah, if we do this with istiqamah, then Allah's help will definitely come, because Allah is Khabir, Allah is Sami', Allah is Alim, Allah is watching everything. Mm. But if we're going to continue saying, ah, you know what, it's a busy time, 4 o'clock, how can I leave my business and go away for Asr Salah and the staff, you know, no, then stop crying Palestine.
Mm.
Stop it, you know. The beauty about it, Maulana, is all these boycotts in that day. I see a lot of people, you know, a person will walk into Pick and Pay, for instance. I'm not advocating that you must shop at Pick and Pay or at Woolworths or what have you. But you'll see people and they'll say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, that person is shopping at Pick and Pay. SubhanAllah, the car that you came with is insured. that you're not worried about.
And that's directly haram.
Or directly the, haram. Directly haram. So, you know, I recall the one day, you know, well, I don't drink Coke, right? I've stopped Coke for a good number of years now. Not for any other reason, for health reasons, right? And alhamdulillah, because it's also bad and what have you, and etc. But I recall the once I was seen with a Sprite bottle, you know? Or was it 7-Up? One of these two, right? And I was drinking that day. And somebody came up to me and said, Astaghfirullah, Malana, how can you be drinking this year? You know, don't you know that this is the... So I said, okay, you know, you're quite right. Make dua for me, inshallah. But tell me, is your car insured? Gee, but what does that have to do with anything? I said, you know what? You're breaking the commandment of Allah. I'm not getting a direct sin by drinking the Sprite or anything. But you're getting a direct sin because you've insured your vehicle. So cancel your insurance. Then come tell me not to drink the cold thing. I'm not saying that what you're advocating is wrong. It's absolutely right. But again, think what we are doing. We are breaking commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will go out on the streets. This past week, Molana, there was a huge march in Cape Town. I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people went out. Very good. We'll go out. We'll march. We take our ladies, we'll have intermingling, we'll paint our faces like clowns, we'll do all of these things there, we'll come on the news. But when it's time for Salah, nobody wants to read Salah. And then we'll say, you know, were you there at the march? Why didn't you go to the march? Do you not have feeling for Palestine? Brothers, sisters, wake up. If we have feeling for Palestine, read your 5 times daily Salah. That is where the Nusrat of Allah is. The Nusrat of Allah is not in marches. The Nusrat of Allah is not in sending memorandums to the Israeli embassy, if there is one in any longer in South Africa. The Nusrat of Allah is not in this. It's not bound to boycott. I'm not saying it's not good to boycott. If you are boycotting, well and good, mashallah, you carry on, alhamdulillah. But the Nusrat of Allah lies in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, last week, Molana, I seen an interesting clip. Somebody sent it to me of the Mujahideen. One bullet, two soldiers. One bullet, two soldiers. So they were standing parallel to, you know, like in front of each other. And the Mujahid shot that bullet. It probably went through that person and hit the person in front of him. And you know, everybody was, wow, alhamdulillah, that is Allah's nusrat. It's Allah's doing. But if we want to see real Nusrat of Allah Ta'ala, like how it was seen in Afghanistan, you know, I'll narrate one quick story, Molana. I was in Afghanistan a few months ago. And one of the Mujahideen told me that, you know, we were fighting from the one side and the other Mujahideen. So basically there was an ambush. The enemy was in the center and they were being attacked from both sides. But anyway, there was a storm that had erupted. And both the Mujahideen retreated some distance away. And in the middle of the night, they then heard screams. So this battalion of Mujahideen radioed the other battalion to say, hey, have you guys gone back to the battlefield? Because we can come as backup, you know, so to speak. So they said, no, we thought you guys. So what is actually going on? So both parties were not fighting, but they could hear screams. The next morning when they got up, they found that this enemy army were being attacked by scorpions. Sure. There's a lot of scorpions because of the heat in Afghanistan. And they were completely annihilated. That is what we are talking about. That is when Allah sends His armies, His Nusrat. Why? Because the Taliban are people who are steadfast on Salah, who are steadfast. Subhanallah, Molana, I can't tell you. You know, imagine walking into a masjid, right? And everyone takes out their shoes and what have you. And here you're seeing everyone taking out the AK-47s and hanging them or putting them on the floor and reading Salah. It's a completely different ballgame. Till today, this happened.
Allah.
Subhanallah. There are youngsters that I met from the Badri battalion that are 19 years old, 20 years old. These are people who went in with bombs to blow up the enemy and destroy them. And they would give their lives for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Nusrat of Allah only comes. Those youngsters are carefully selected. I narrate one quick story, Mulana. I know my time is up. But we went out to a restaurant with some of the Badri battalion people. And one of the guys that we had befriended was a young man by the name of Muhammad. He's about 18 years old. He's been incarcerated in Balgham prison for about 2 years and tortured. And anyway, this youngster, so we're sitting down and we're ordering food, you know, whatever it is. And he refuses to eat. He refuses to eat. And so I take him one side and I say, Muhammad, what's wrong? Is there a problem with the food here? What? He says, you know what? We as the Badri battalion, our rule and regulation is not to eat restaurant food.
Allahu Akbar. Mm. Subhanallah.
Wake up, Muslim Ummah. This is a 20-year-old youngster.
Mm.
Wake up, O Muslim Ummah, a 20-year-old youngster that is teaching us Iman.
I think we'll have to, this sounds very interesting, so we'll have to have like a special dedicated program for Mulana's trip to Afghanistan. Gee, inshallah. As Mulana was speaking now, I just want to confirm this fact. As Mulana was saying, the scorpions and all the different armies of Allah. So I recalled it was last year, and I just checked it now. It's this date shows the 3rd of October, so around there, 2023. The headlines was bed bug panic sweeps Paris as infestation soar before the 2024 Olympics. So even the bed bugs, they are the armies of Allah, and they created all of this infestations in Paris, and just was prior to the 2024 Olympics and that. So the different armies of Allah Azawajal and the divine aid. But inshallah, we'll have a special program for that, inshallah. Mulana, make dua for us. Include our families, the Ummah, inshallah, Palestine.
Allah Ta'ala keep us all in His ita'at. Allah Ta'ala keep us with His muhabbat. Allah Ta'ala protect us from all the fitnas that are lurking around us.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.